need to fear. Underdog is here.
When criminals in this world appear and break the laws that they should fear and frighten all who see or hear, the cry goes up both far and near for underdog.
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 Underdog. Speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all who love or plunder.
Underdog.
Underdog.
In this world, the headlines read of those whose hearts are filled with greed, who rob and steal from those who need to right this wrong with blinding speed. Goes underdog,
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 underdog. Speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all who rob or plunder.
Underdog.
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 There's no need to fear.
In this world appear and break the laws that they should fear and fight through all who see or hear, the cry goes up both far and near for underdog.
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 Underdog. Speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all who rob or plunder.
Underdog. World, the headlines read of those whose hearts are filled with greed, who rob and steal from those who need to right this wrong with blinding speed. Goes underdog,
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 underdog. Speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all who rob or plunder.
Underdog.
Welcome to Fly High Ministries, everybody. Really good to be with you today. I pray that God is blessing you and keeping you no matter where you're at and no matter what you're doing. Today's message is God cheers for the underdogs. Yes, God cheers for the underdogs. You know, I remember when I watch a lot of sports games, have you ever found yourself cheering for the underdog? Have you ever found yourself cheering for the team that might not make it, that might not win? I love to cheer for the underdog. I believe that God cheers for the underdogs, and I believe that God likes to work with those that are least able or least capable to win. The teams that are least able or the individual that is least able to win, I think God cheers for the underdogs. God definitely likes the little man. God is for the little man. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ, He's for the little man. He's for the underdog. And God always roots for the underdogs. Yes, we see this all throughout the Bible. And I want to tell you today that God loves the little man. He loves the guy that doesn't seem that's going to win. The guy that doesn't seem, or the woman that doesn't seem that's going to make it, God cheers for the underdog. Yes, because God is in the business of working with the underdogs. He's in the business of working with those that are least likely to win. Yes, God wants you to be a winner. And you might say to God, well, I don't have anything in me to win. Well, God says, you know what? You might look like the little man. You might look like the underdog. But I'm gonna make you fly. I'm going to make you fly high. And yes, I'm here to tell you that God wants to make you fly high in this world. God wants to make you fly higher. He wants to make you go to heights that you've never known. And yes, God is rooting for the underdog. Yes, God is rooting for you. God is rooting for the little man. Yes, He is cheering for the little man, the underdog. Well, what about what does the Bible say? You know, in 1 Samuel 17:49, and David put on his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone, and he slung it, and he smote the Philistines in the forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. You've all heard the story about David and Goliath, but we see that David was very much outnumbered. by Goliath and the Philistines. He was the little man. He was the little guy. He was definitely the underdog. And you could see Jesus Christ, God, cheering for the underdog. You know, the only thing that pleases the Lord is faith. And when we have faith, when we come to the point where we have no strength left inside us, when it comes to the point where we are weak, when it comes to the point in your own life where you can't do it, you can't go another mile or take another step, yes, God is rooting for you. He's saying, I'm bringing, now I can use you. You know, let's consider the small nation of Israel, which surrounded by enemies. This small nation has been surrounded by enemies more than one time. And let's suppose these enemies banded together and planned to coordinate a secret attack on all fronts during the holiest Israeli religious holidays of the year. Yes, let's just say all these nations came together. They've planned to attack on a day in which virtually no one, including most of the military, is allowed to work. Perhaps the Israeli army forces are outnumbered 10 or 20 to 1 in personnel and equipment. What would be the world's opinion if Israel was totally defeated and driven into the sea? Well, that would certainly be no surprise. Most would agree that was the expected outcome. Why? Because they are totally outnumbered. But let's start considering, on the other hand, what if Israel somehow managed to quickly regroup and defeat the invaders on all fronts with only a few days? That would certainly be a shock. With an overwhelming odds against them, they could certainly not have overcome the enemy through their limited strength. You know, many would conclude that certainly God was on their side. Well, this is exactly what occurred during the Yom Kippur War of October 1973. This is how God operates through the nations and individuals He chooses. As compared to man's theory of combat, God takes a totally opposite approach when fighting battles. Man cannot have too many soldiers or too much equipment, whereas God always wants His side to be a decisive underdog. You know, God always roots for the underdogs. What about you today? Do you feel like you're in a battle? And do you feel like you're an underdog? Well, I'm here to tell you that God is cheering for you. Maybe you're in school and you feel like there's no way you're going to ever complete your school. I'm here to tell you God is cheering for you. Maybe you look like the underdog trying to get a job. Maybe you look like an underdog in your situation. Maybe you look like there's no hope, that you're outnumbered, that you're defeated financially, or you're defeated, you feel like you're defeated and your back is against the wall. Maybe you feel like the underdog in your situation, but I'm here to tell you right now that God cheers for the underdogs, and yes, He's going to make you an overcomer. God died on the cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and He overcame. He overcame this world. And God uses the underdogs of this world. He uses the little men, the little women of this world to do great and mighty things. Yes, He does. Well, but let's go back to the Bible and consider many other biblical examples. What about when Gideon led Israel against the Midianites? The original number of his army was 32,000. And God instructed Gideon to allow any that were afraid or fearful to leave, and 22,000 departed. This lowered the Israeli army to 10,000. There were still too many in God's estimation. He instructed Gideon to take all 10,000 down to the river for a drink, and all who lapped the water with their tongue like a dog were allowed to remain, and this brought the army size down to 300 from the initial size of 32,000. With these 300, God allowed Gideon to defeat the Midianites. Why does God desire that the side He supports to be the underdog? I'm going to tell you, when God blesses you, you can't say you did it. You can't say it was your strength. You can't say it was your intellect. You can't say it was anything. You have to, when you go before God, He puts you in situations. God can only work with the underdogs of life. God can only work with the little men. God can only work with the underdogs. Why did he take Gideon? He led Gideon. When Gideon led Israel, what happened? He went from 32,000 down to 300. And God said, now I can use you because now you're the underdog. Now you're going to beat the Midianites and you're going to realize it's not by your strength or power, but only by the Spirit of the Lord. Yes, I'm here to tell you today that God does cheer for underdogs and God is cheering for you. God is cheering for you in your situation. Yes. And the Bible says in Judges 7:2, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. God wants to save you right now, but God doesn't want you to say you saved yourself. God doesn't want you to boast that it was by your strength. God doesn't want to say you've done it by your strength or your intellect or your power. God is going to do amazing things in your life. Even though you might be an underdog, that's exactly where God wants you. He wants you to be an underdog so God can move. And when He does move in your life, all you can say is it wasn't me. It was only the Lord Jesus Christ. God is doing amazing things. Yes, the children of Israel, God's chosen people. And we are to observe them and recognize without a doubt that God punishes them when they disobey Him. And rewards them when they obey Him, regardless of their strength. And if they had defeated the Midianites, with a million man army, that would have been expected due what? To their strength. And they would have taken the credit. But by defeating the vastly superior Midianites with only 300 men, it had to be a miracle. Everyone, including the Israelites, must include that they won because God was on their side. They did not win the battle, but God did. Yes, you know, I'm rooting for you today, and God is cheering for the underdogs. I don't know what battle of life that you're in today. You might feel like you're an underdog in the battle of your life. But I'm here to tell you today, when God takes you out of that battle, you might be the underdog in that battle, the little man. You might say there's no way out. And when God pulls you out, all you can say is it wasn't by my strength. It wasn't by my might, but it was only by the Spirit of the Lord. It's only going to be by the Spirit of the Lord when He saves you. It's only going to be by the Spirit of the Lord when He helps you. God wants to help you. Even though you're an underdog, I'm here to tell you that Jesus cheers for the underdog. You remember when you're watching that basketball team and you say, okay, there's the underdog. There's no way that team is going to defeat the other team. And then, miraculously, just like maybe in the Olympics, they come back and they defeat the world champions. Yes, maybe it's a boxing and there's no way this boxer can defeat the world champion. Yes. But what happens? The underdog ends up winning. How does that happen? Only by the Spirit of the Lord. Only by God's mighty power. Yes, God defeated the Midianites. But Israel was the underdog. How about you? Are you the underdog today? I'm here to tell you today that God is going to move in the underdogs. God's cheering for the underdogs. And yes, God is going to do great and mighty things in your life. Do you believe that today? Yes, the only thing that pleases the Lord is faith. The only thing that pleases the Lord today is faith. Let's go back to the Bible. Likewise, God chooses the most unlikely candidates when selecting individuals to perform leadership roles. In the motion picture, The Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston played the part of Moses. And he led the children of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage with his booming voices and commanding physical appearance. Would those doing the casting have chosen the actual Moses of the Bible to play himself in the movie? Absolutely not. He did not come close to being the overpowering Moses required by the movie script. When God called Moses, Moses protested and he said that he was slow of speech. In the Bible, Exodus 4:10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither therefore heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. In fact, God allowed Moses to take his brother Aaron, who spoke well, along with him, to be his mouth. And the Bible says in Exodus 4:16, "And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even, he shall be to thee instead of his mouth." Yes, even Moses was the underdog. He was the underdog, but God used him in a mighty way to deliver Israel out of the bondage of the Egyptians. How about you? You know, if you're going to follow God and Jesus Christ, he's probably going to put you in an underdog situation. He's probably going to put you in a situation where you feel like you're the underdog so God can perform miracles in your life. Yes. You know, there is an excellent comparison between the leadership qualities desired by men versus those desired by God. Yes. How many people have a mindset of what a leader is today? You know, most people look at a leader as someone maybe tall in stature. Maybe that leader is very intelligent. Maybe he's physically strong or he has a lot of money. But these kind of leadership qualities that people look at today are not the qualities that God looks at. You know, when in the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, God informs Samuel that he will choose a king for Israel from the son of Jesse. Well, Samuel is to review Jesse's son, and God will tell him which one is to be anointed as king. Well, the first is to be reviewed was Eliab. Eliab was tall and impressive, just like, we would think a king would be. He looked like a king. He acted like a king. He stood like a king. And everyone thought that maybe Eliab would have been the king. And Samuel thought that surely this was the one. But this was not the one to the Lord. A lot of you people today out there, you think that somebody is really the one for God. He looks like he has strong stature. He has a lot of money. And he might be in a high position. And he might act like a leader or look like a leader. And God says, no, that's not my leader. That's not the one that I'm going to use. Yes. Because why? God cheers for the underdogs. God is looking for the underdog. God's leaders are not what the kind of leaders that people think today. You know, God is totally opposite, you know. You might vote for the top basketball team, but God isn't voting for the top basketball team. He's voting for the worst team. Why? So he can show his miracles through the team. What about you today? You might say, you know, I feel like I'm an underdog. And then I say, well, then God can surely use you. Or I feel like I'm an average Joe or just a common man. Well, I can tell you that God can use you because you are an underdog. God is in the process of doing great and mighty things to the underdogs. And look at what the Bible said in 1 Samuel 16:7. "Look not on his countenance or on the heights of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Yes, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart of man. And I'm here to tell you today, maybe you feel like you're an underdog, and I'm going to tell you that God cheers for you. God cheers for the underdog people. You know, most people look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart of man in 1 Samuel 16:7. I'm here to tell you today that God looks at your heart. He doesn't look at your financial situation. He doesn't look at your physical situation. He doesn't look at your situation in society. Yes, God looks at your heart. You know, Jesse proceeded to call Abinadab and Shammah, the seven of his sons, to pass by Samuel. But God chose none of them. Samuel asked if there were any other sons. There was only the youngest remaining. Jesse had not even considered him as a possibility. And you know, maybe sometimes the world might even not consider you as a possibility. Maybe the world has overlooked you. Maybe you're the underdog of the world today. But I'm here to tell you that maybe you feel like you're insignificant or your job is insignificant and that God would never use you. So what did Jesse had not even considered him as a possibility, so he was still out in the pasture tending sheep, yes. And Samuel asked that the youngest son be fetched for his work. And so in 1 Samuel 16:12, and he sent and he brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and very godly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. So the son of Jesse, that was thought unworthy of even consideration, became one of the greatest kings of Israel. The Jews still call Jerusalem the city of David. And with today's technology and sophistications, would we have chosen David as our first choice? Well, absolutely not. Physical appearance remains man's most important criteria. I'm here to tell you today, man looks at the physical appearance are the most important criteria of what it means to be a leader, but God is looking for the underdog. He is looking for the common man. He wants to take 32,000 men and drop it down to 300 so he can use his power to defeat the enemy. How many of you today, you want to be, if you want to be used by God, then he's going to have to use you. He's going to have to make you the underdog. Maybe you're only 5'5", and he says, you know what? There's no way you could ever play in the NBA because you're 5'5". God says, I want to use that 5'5" person to play in the NBA. Come on, somebody. You don't know what God's about to do for you. You don't know. You might keep saying to yourself that I'm the underdog. No, come on, somebody, that there's no way that God could take me here. There's no way that God could take me there. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. And God's telling you that I'm cheering for the underdog. He's saying, I believe in you. Because when my power comes upon you, nothing can stop what I want to do. Yes, can I get an amen today? Oh, hallelujah. You know, a Native American named Ira Hayes helped raise the American flag atop of Mount Suribachi on Iwo Jima during World War II. He became the alcoholic and died in a ditch. Some might call him a drunken Indian, but I call him a hero. Yes, you know, Ira Hayes. You've heard that song. Yes, well, he was a drunken Indian, but he raised that flag during Iwo Jima, during World War II, and yes, I call him a hero. You know, truth of the matter is, God loves to use the underdogs to do great and mighty, mighty things. You know, what about the man that was born in Mississippi and that taught that Martin Luther King Jr. was an outside agitator at best? Then I read his I Have a Dream speech. And I was wrong. Darren King was the very brave hero fighting for a just cause. I Have a Dream was the most incredible speech ever spoken. It stated universal concepts. Consider this sentence from his speech. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Did someone know that men judge others by physical appearance over character thousands of years ago? Consider the following verse which God inspired to be written in the Scriptures. For man looketh not on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. The truth of the matter is that God is looking on your heart and God is cheering for the underdog. I know today that you might feel like you're unworthy. You might feel like you're an underdog in life. But I'm here to tell you, when God moves on your life, He's going to do great and mighty things. Can I get an amen today? You know, what about the Apostle Paul? He happens to be the unlikely underdog. Paul was originally known as Saul and was one of the most notorious persecutors of Christians along the road of Damascus. God confronted Saul in Acts 9:3-4. And as he was on a journey, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute thou me? You know, Saul turned from persecuting Christians to become one of the great apostles of all time, the Apostle Paul. You know, the truth of the matter is this. In 1 Timothy 1:15, there's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You know, other underdogs of God possessed some human frailty, which made them unlikely candidates for the mission ahead. But you know, but Paul apparently had none. He was originally strong, powerful, persuasive, decisive, energetic. He was a persecutor of Christians. Incredibly, when God chose him to spread the gospel to the Gentiles, he gave Paul the thorn in the flesh. Yes, God gave Paul the thorn in the flesh. God took somebody and he said, look, I have to make you the underdog. What about you? Do you feel like an underdog? Then you're right where God wants you. Do you feel like there's no way he can break through your situation? You saying, oh, I feel like an underdog. You know, it was that thorn in the flesh that indicated pain caused by some physical problem. However, it may also indicate pain caused by psychological problems. In Galatians, Paul describes his infirmity as a temptation. In Galatians 4:14, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, he despised not, nor rejected, but received me as the angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Consider the following verse written by Paul. For that which I want to do, I do not do, and the things I which I want to do, I do not do, in Romans 7:15. Yes, the truth of the matter is, Paul felt like an underdog. The Apostle Paul was the underdog. He was the underdog. And it doesn't matter your situation today. It doesn't matter where you're at in your life today. You might feel like you're the underdog, but I'm here to tell you that God can do mighty things with the underdog. And God is cheering for the underdog. God is cheering for you. Yes, you're saying, I feel like I'm an underdog. I feel like I cannot achieve. You know what? When God took Gideon from 32,000 men to 300 men, God said, now I can use you. Maybe God is taking you where it seems like it's impossible that you can defeat or even get out of your situation. I'm here to tell you that God is cheering for you. God is cheering for the underdog. And yes, you're going to do great and mighty things. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God is cheering for you? God is going to lift you up. God is going to make you fly high. Don't you give up on Jesus Christ. It's not time to give up on Him yet. Don't you give up on Jesus. Yes, God is cheering for you. Yes, God does cheer for the underdogs. Yes, I don't know about you today, but I think there's some people out there that feels like there's no hope for them. I feel like there's some people out there that feel very depressed. Some people might feel suicidal. I'm here to tell you, if you're listening to this right now and you feel like you're the underdog in your situation, look at the Bible, that God is in the business of cheering for the underdogs and working with the underdogs. Even David, when he was fighting Goliath, he was the underdog. What about Queen Esther when she had to go before the queen? I really believe that she felt like she was the underdog. What about the prostitute Rahab? Yes, she probably felt like she was the underdog. So many people in the Bible were the underdogs. The underdogs is who God cheers for. The underdogs is who God wants to use. And I could imagine the Israelites, when they were in bondage, that they felt like there was no way that God was going to ever liberate them. They felt like they were the underdog in society. Maybe you feel like you're the underdog in your society. Maybe you feel like you're the underdog in your job. I'm here to tell you that God cheers for the underdog. And God is cheering for you right now. God wants to raise you up right now. God wants to empower you right now. Come on, somebody. There's no reason why you just sit there and feel sorry for yourself with some self-pity. God, you might feel like the underdog, but God's cheering for the underdog. You better get back in that game. Come on, somebody. You better get back into the game of life. Come on, somebody. You might be down by 10 or 20 points. Oh, you ain't listening to me today. Oh, my gosh. It looks hopeless when I seen the scoreboard. You were down by 30 points, but God says now my spirit can move. Oh, come on, somebody. You ain't listening to me. You might feel like you're the underdog, but just try to take that jump shot. Try to pass that ball of life. God's on the stands cheering for you right now. Oh, I can see God cheering for those underdogs. Oh, yeah, come on. God is cheering for you. Yeah, you better get that dance back in your step. You better move that body just one more time. You better put that smile on your face. God says, ha, I'm cheering for the underdog. Oh, I know you might be feel like you're surrounded by the enemy. I know the scoreboard looks like there's no way you're ever going to come back of life. I know you feel like there's no way you're ever going to make it, that your time has passed. You might say, I might feel too old. But I'm here to tell you that God is cheering for the underdog. You might feel like you're the underdog. But God says, now my spirit can use you. Why? Because you can't give God. When God moves in your life, you can't say you did it. You can't say it was by your strength. You can't say it was by your willpower or your intellect. It's only going to be by the grace of God. And when God defeated the Midianites, when God, when David slung that stone, God guided that stone to the forehead. It was only by the Spirit of the Lord. And God is going to guide you. And He's cheering for the underdog. He's going to guide you to victory. Yes, God is going to guide you to victory of your life. He's going to guide you to victory. He's going to guide you right to victory of your life. Come on, somebody. Oh, you might feel like you're the underdog, but I'm here to tell you that you're a champion. And you're a winner. And you're an overcomer. And God has overcome the grave. And you serve a resurrection God. And Jesus Christ is a resurrection God. And yes, Jesus is cheering for you. Jesus cheers for the underdog. Jesus is cheering for you. Come on, somebody. You might say, but I'm the underdog. God says, now I can work with you. And I'm cheering for you. God loves the underdog. And yes, God loves to cheer for the underdog.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Criminals in this world appear and break the laws that they should fear, and fight through all who see or hear. The cry goes up both far and near for underdog,
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 underdog. Speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all who love or plunder.
World, the headlines read of those whose hearts are filled with greed, who rob and steal from those who need, to right this wrong with blinding speed. Go underdog,
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 underdog, underdog. Speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all who rob or plunder.
Underdog. Underdog,
underdog,
there's no need to fear.
In this world appear and break the laws that they should fear, and fight through all who see or hear. The cry goes up both far and near for underdog,
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 underdog. Speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all who rob or plunder.
Underdog,
underdog.
In this world, the headlines read of those whose hearts are filled with greed, who rob and steal from those who need, to right this wrong with blinding speed. Goes underdog.